Hi, welcome to Koinonia. We're so glad to have you join us today. If today is your first time, we invite you to fill out our Connect card so we can connect with you and get to know you better. Also, if you have any prayer requests, we also invite you to fill out our Connect card so we can pray for you. Before we start our worship, I have a couple announcements for you. Today we'll be having communion, so please have your communion elements ready so we can partake in it together. Also, please note that April 9th is our last online worship service. And on April 16th, we'll be starting a new series on the Book of Acts. So join us as we take a deeper dive into the formation of the early church. Also, as we look forward to worshiping together in person, we are in need of servants on the site, guests, and production team. So please fill the servant application to help serve. Lastly, we would like to invite you to join us on April 16th at 6:45 at Fraserview MB Church. So hope to see you there. Before we sing praises to God, let us prepare our hearts for worship by reading from Psalm 103, 8-12. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for being merciful and so gracious towards us. Thank you for dying for us, for our sins on the cross, so that we may have a closer relationship with you. Thank you for loving us so much and caring for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us stand together and worship our God.
cross. Jesus is waiting. God so loved the
Let us remain standing and pray together. Dear God, thank you that you are faithful, you are trustworthy, and just. And I pray as we listen to your word today that your presence will be with us and that our hearts will be open to hearing your word that you want to speak to each and every one of us today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated. Have you ever been given an opportunity but chose to not take it and later on regretted it? But why? Why did you not take the opportunity? Was it because it was too difficult? It was something unfamiliar? Or you just didn't want to encounter any changes in your life. And over the past 2 weeks, we've learned that the root of an excuse is blaming something internal, our failings, on external circumstances. And our well-rehearsed reasons are in fact excuses because we're trying to hide something internal like fear. However, some of you might be thinking, what if the reasons are indeed valid? Like fear of failure. You know what you're capable of and you don't go beyond your limits, so you limit your chances of failing. Or your fear of change. You develop multiple routines for your life so that your life stays as consistent and stable as possible. Or your fear of loss. You make sure to think twice before spending any money. The same goes for fear of rejection and fear of pain. These indeed sound reasonable. But what if our excuses, disguised as reasons, causes us to miss out? How? Well, for your fear of failure, you currently have your class 7 and you failed your class 5 test. And you don't want to risk failing a second time, so you never retake your class 5 test and you stay an N. The problem is, your career requires you to have a full license. And so that means that you've been missing out on all these chances of getting promoted. Or for your fear of rejection, the school that you want to go to has an acceptance rate of 5%. You don't apply because it's so low. And so your family friend decides to apply and they get in. And now you regretted it, as you could have gotten in too, but then now you're stuck in another year of your second choice program, and so on. Therefore, don't you think it's worth evaluating whether your reasons are excuses? I would think so, as not identifying our excuses causes us to miss out. And majority of us fear missing out. Especially when we see our friends on social media like Facebook or Instagram having a good time without us. But have you ever thought about missing out on God's purpose for your life? Well, our excuses may actually be causing us to miss out on God's purpose for you. And our God loves us too much to leave us stuck in our excuses, the traps of our own excuses. And since He knows that He has given each of us a purpose and wants us to live a fulfilling, purposeful life, He wants to move us forward. Throughout the Old and New Testaments, we find examples of people giving excuses to God. Like Moses, when God told him to lead His people out of Egypt, he said, "Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." We can tell that these are excuses because Moses seems to have forgotten who God is, as God is the one who made the mouth and teaches us to speak. And still Moses says, "Oh my Lord, please send someone else." Still, Moses told God to send someone else. So maybe behind his reasons are actually his fear. Although in the end, we know he did follow God's call for him. But imagine, if Moses let his excuses hinder him from following God's purpose for him, he would have missed out on so much, such as getting to walk in a close relationship with God, so close that the Bible records God and Moses speaking face to face as we do with friends right now. He would have also missed out on experiencing God's miracles and seeing how God will lead his people out of Egypt. He would have missed out on watching the Red Sea part and walking on dry land, or seeing manna from heaven, from God feeding his people. Perhaps you felt or sensed God's calling for you, but you've dismissed it or delayed it. And you've given excuses such as, "Not now, I'll do it later, I'm too busy," or "Someone else with more experience can do it." But have you wondered how God might respond to your excuses? Not only that, what will your future look like if you continue to make these excuses? Well, the parable of the talents in the book of Matthew gives us some answers. So let us start reading from Matthew 25, verse 14. "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. Notice how the master called these three servants. He called these three business experts and trusted them with his possessions. And each servant was given an amount of money according to what the master knew they could handle. And in case you didn't know, one talent is approximately 20 years of wages back then. So one talent is still a large sum of money that the master gave to the third servant. And so after this, the master leaves, and let's see what the three servants do with their talents. He who had received the five talents went at once and traded with them, and he made five talents more. So also he who had the two talents made two talents more. But he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. So two of the servants made the choice to put to use their talents immediately at once and didn't waste any time to increase their talents. But the third servant chose to bury the talent. It's something not rare for someone to do at that time, and the master could have done this himself if that was what he wanted, to have his talent wasted and hidden. Since the master gave his servants a large sum of money, he is definitely going to come back to see their progress and settle accounts with them. So let's read on. Now, after a long time, the masters of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five talents more, saying, "Master, you delivered to me five talents. Here, I have made five talents more." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And he also who had the two talents came forward saying, "Master, you delivered to me two talents. Here, have made two talents more." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Notice how the master said the exact same thing to the servants, despite one having made two talents more and one having made five talents more. And this reveals the master looked for goodness and faithfulness in his servants. And whatever financial success they had was because they were good and faithful. Then he also who had received the one talent came forward saying, "Master, I knew to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." Just from reading the servant's reasons, it seems that he feared failure. Based on his description of his master, it indeed seems right to fear. He portrays his master as someone unsympathizing and harsh. And it's definitely reasonable for the servant to risk losing any of the money given to him. So burying the money he was given was indeed a smart choice. However, it is a misconception of the master. The servant was right to fear, but he should have had a different kind of fear. The Bible tells us to fear God. Fearing God is necessary because it keeps us from caving into our own sinful nature. And since Jesus died on the cross for our sins, we are allowed to freely enjoy the majesty of God with a kind of fear and trembling and awe. It is a fear that'll have us put Him first in our lives. It is a fear, as Proverbs tells us, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance, and the way of evil and perverted speech." The Bible tells us that all knowledge begins with fear of the Lord, a reverent, worshipful trust in our God. And this fear of respect, of trust, and awe is what the third servant should have had for his master, but didn't have. So let's continue the story. But his master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest." Why was the servant so mad? Because he saw that the servant not only didn't try, but also gave excuses. The servant was wicked because he made false claims about his master, who never looked for results beyond what he knew of his servant's ability and the opportunities available. Also, Louis Barbieri Jr. from the Moody Bible Institute suggests that the servant hid the money in case the master didn't return so he could have kept it for himself. If he had put it in the bank or invested it, everyone would have known that the money did not belong to him. So, and he wouldn't have been able to keep it for himself. And he was slothful in that he made no effort to improve the one talent that was entrusted to him. Plus, if the master really was how the servant knew him to be, the servant would have known that the master would have been angry when he comes back with no additional gains. He would have, at the very least, invested the one talent with the bank to generate some interest. And lastly, since the master was gone for a long time, the servant might not have expected the master to return at all, and so he was not prepared. And this ultimately shows that the servant's reason is actually an excuse, is an attempt to hide his laziness and unfaithfulness to his master. And because the master sees this truth, he says, "So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the utter darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Wait, but the master still got his initial amount back. Isn't the consequence a little bit harsh? Well, money depreciates and loses its initial value over time. And because we were never told how long the master was gone for, he could have been gone for a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, or even 20 years. He could have put it in the bank himself and actually got interest. But he chose to give it to the third servant because he believed that the third servant will give him a better return. The talent was given to the third servant, not to bury, but to use and improve for profit. By having it hidden away, it was wasted. Simply put, the servant didn't do his job, and it also showed how the third servant was evil and slothful. Two traits you probably don't want in your workers as a boss. Ultimately, from this story, we see that everything, even what was given to us, can be taken away if it is not put to use. And there's also a judgment, and we are accountable for the choices we make and the consequences they bring. And as believers, we're all God's stewards, and we're all given resources according to our abilities and skills, but those resources ultimately belong to God. And we will eventually have to answer for how we invested them. So let me ask you, when God comes back, will he say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant," or "You wicked and slothful servant"? Some of us may currently resonate with a third servant, but how can we stop making excuses and be faithful and good like the first two servants? Let's do a quick recap. First, catch yourself doing it. Be aware, identify when you do make excuses. Also, dig deeper. Are they really reasons or are they excuses? And what are you afraid of? Identify the fear within. And lastly, choose to follow the Lord's command. Even when it's not clear, choose to do what honors him the most. Ask yourself, is what I'm doing honoring and pleasing God and giving glory to him? Or am I pleasing myself, honoring myself, and neglecting God? The good news is that God isn't condemning you right now, but he wants you to know that he has a purpose for you. He wants you to recognize and look at the opportunities that he has waiting for you and wants to bless you with. And just as the master knew of his servant's ability, God also fully knows you. And sometimes we may have excuses because we fear failing, we fear embarrassments, or we just have lots of doubts in ourselves or on other people. But God knows us better than we know ourselves. And so what he has given us, he knows it can be accomplished. And so God invites you to join him. He also has a reward and more to entrust you with. And although it may be risky to step out of your comfort zone and we might fail, it's also when we grow and learn. It means we're no longer stuck in our excuses, but moving forward. moving towards what God has planned for our lives. God's plans are waiting for you. A life full of blessings and rewards, and most importantly, His delight in you. And so we know that God knows you. He knows your potential, and He's calling you now to join Him in His great plans for you. So now that we know how to identify our excuses, how can we start confronting them and avoid missing out on fulfilling God's call for us? Well, first, you can look around at the areas that you're part of, the communities, the people that you're with. How can you start serving God and make use of the gifts He's given you? And one of the places you can make use of God's gift is to serve at church. There are many serving opportunities available, and it's a great place to start if you're trying to discover your abilities and gifts that God has given you. Well, for some of you, perhaps you've been asked to serve before, but back then you declined the opportunity due to your excuses of school, too many exams, or work, too many projects, or family obligations, or even you just want time for yourself. And looking back now, you realize that those excuses may have kept you from following God's plan for you. Well, right now, God is calling you again to serve. And He's calling you to start serving, to serve again, or to serve on an additional team. So don't wait. Respond now. Don't miss out. I also know there are also some of you here who may be wondering what responding to God calls even mean. Who, why, or how does God call someone? You often hear people talking about being called into ministry, into working at church, into moving to a different place, or going to theological studies. But what does that all mean? Well, God's calling is for all of us, you and I. And why? An opportunity to take part in His kingdom work. And how does He call? In various ways. And oftentimes, responding to God's call would mean there will be some sort of change that we'll have to make. And as human beings, we're all a little reluctant to change. And so we may dismiss God's call for us and miss out because of our fears. We may have excuses like, now is not the right time. I'm too young. I'm too old. I need to save money. I need more experience, or I've never done this before, this isn't for me, or simply, please call someone else. All these sound pretty reasonable, even as excuses, but it causes us to miss out on God's purpose for us. And along with that, it means saying no to experiencing more of Him, His blessings, His gifts, and His providence, and so much more. I'm not sure about you, but I have given God these excuses before. So let me conclude by sharing with you a part of my story. During my last year of undergrad, God called me into ministry. I was unsure and reluctant because that wasn't really what I had in mind. As a business student, I was feeling the peer pressure and also just the business school environment where my plan was supposed to go work for a big company, a Fortune 500 company, and make lots of money. And so I prayed and asked God for an affirmation. And He did it for me through the conferences, the Bible, and just people around me. However, after I got the affirmation from God, that's when the excuses began. I realized it was going to be a change, and I had fears within me. My first reason was about money. In order for me to go into church ministry, I felt the need to equip myself. So that meant going into theological studies. However, theological studies is expensive. It's even more expensive than my undergrad. And I did not have money. And although I didn't magically get money or a super clear answer from God on how I was going to get those money, by faith, I still apply to study. It wasn't until looking back that I realized God indeed did answer my prayers. He led me here at Koinonia to work alongside my studies so I can financially support myself and also apply what I learned in school immediately into ministry. Another reason that I gave God was, I'm too young and I'm not experienced. Shouldn't I get more experience first? Again, God answered me with 2 points. His first point was, how do you know you'll live long enough in the future to respond to my call? I wanted to wait, to procrastinate. God reminded me of how we don't know what will happen, even for the next seconds of our lives. And his second point was, why don't you give me the best years of your life? Years where you are able to grow the most, learn the most, and be able to change and move. A lot of times, we fear missing out on going to university to find a high-paying job, or a boyfriend or girlfriend to start a family, or even finding money to have bigger and better houses and cars. So we do our best to not miss out. For example, we immediately start saving money for university, and we look around for who might be suitable to be a boyfriend or girlfriend and to marry and to start a family with. However, why do we rarely think about God and His purposes for us? Why do we not give Him the best years of our lives? Don't you think that the God of the universe, and who is powerful, who can do anything, and loves us so much, deserves better? Why do we only follow His calling for us when it's most convenient for us, when we have everything we've ever wanted to achieve? Remember, we can never go back in time. Sometimes God has plans that require us to respond to Him immediately, or we'll simply miss out. However, the good news is, if you're willing to, God will give you opportunities to be part of His kingdom work. Looking back, my journey of following God and confronting and identifying my excuses has not been easy, but it has been rewarding. As Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And through my journey, this verse has rang true. Because my life has been full of blessings and rewards from God, and I'm so glad that I didn't let my excuses hinder me from following God's plan for me. And I look forward to seeing what God will continue to entrust me with as I continue to serve here at Koinonia and also study. So, what about you? Where has God been calling you to serve? At the church, at your workplace, at your schools, in your community, or even at home? As 1 Peter 4:10 tells us, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." God has already given you the ability to do His work and accomplish His purpose for you. So it's up to you to choose. Will you continue to make excuses? Or will you confront your excuses and say yes? Say yes to following God's and His purposes for you. And following God's plan is rewarding, but it isn't always going to be easy. There is always going to be some sort of risk involved and also sacrifices that you have to make. But as Romans 8:28 tells us, "We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." So stop. Stop making excuses. Don't miss out. Imagine where you will be if you stop making excuses. Think of how much you can grow and learn. I know it may be daunting to confront your excuses, to confront your fears, and to step outside of your comfort zones. But remember, Joshua 1:9 tells us to be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you. I know that God has a purpose for you, and He has given you the gifts already to help you accomplish His purpose. So let Him take care of your excuses, your fears. Give it all to Him. Instead, fear God in worshipful trust and awe and respect, and know that God is with you, God knows you, God is calling you, so don't miss out. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for entrusting each of us with a purpose. And thank you for calling us and inviting us to participate in your work. Lord, help us to recognize and confront our excuses and give us the courage to confront these fears to better serve you. Thank you for always loving us and being with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Church. Now is a time of communion. This communion is open to all who have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Church, let's partake the cup and the bread together. And now, church, let's stand for the benediction. Let me bless you with the blessing from the book of Hebrews. "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." As we conclude our worship this morning, let me encourage you to support and participate in the ministry of Koinonia through offering. For online offering, please go to our church website, english.mykc.ca. So go in peace, church, and we'll see you next week.